Welcome to Talent Hub Talk. I'm Ben Duncombe, and on this podcast, I will be interviewing prominent and inspirational figures from both the local ANZ and global Salesforce Ohana. In today's episode, I'm joined by Glenda Birch. Glenda is a managing partner from DXC and is leading the System Partners brand within the business. Through the episode, we discussed Glenda's career to date, her earlier sales career, and how she found her way into selling services and into the consulting world in the Salesforce space with System Partners. Through the episode, we touch on leading through change effectively, managing a team through an acquisition, and ensuring it remains a great place to work. We touch on diversity and inclusion, being a dynamic female in tech, and the broader topic of women in tech. We look at COVID and how that's changed the mindset of customers and Glenda's role in keeping the team motivated and achieving goals through the remote period that we've faced, especially for the team in Melbourne that Glenda is leading and running. We look at how her focus has had to change over the last number of months, with mental health and team well-being being an absolute priority. And then we look at how some of their customers have adapted and the way in which projects and deliverables have changed and how potentially they may look in the future. We then look at some of the new opportunity that is coming in the market in different regions that haven't necessarily always been the busiest or the core Salesforce hubs across Australia. So touching on Adelaide and Canberra and where they see opportunity in these regions. So yeah, really interesting chat. Really great to have Glenda on the show. And I hope you enjoy the episode. If you do, please subscribe for future episodes that are coming through. So thank you, Glenda. Thank you so much for joining us from Melbourne, just coming out of lockdown, which you must be excited about.
I'm very excited about. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to getting in the sunshine and having a beer in a brewery.
Sunshine in Melbourne, I can't guarantee that.
No, we can't. I must say, I'm still in a sweater and we're November next week. Yeah, interesting times down here.
Yeah, definitely. Well, look, thank you again for joining us. We've got a lot to run through today. And I always like to start with a view before Salesforce. And I guess just to hear a little bit about what you did before you found your way into the Salesforce ecosystem and what life looked like back then.
Yeah, too easy. So it's a little bit of a jagged history of how I sort of landed here today, but I actually spent my first part of my working life in the medical side of the business. So I worked and ran a radiology clinic and a plastic surgeons clinic and found myself sort of in leadership and in the medical world. And that always interests me, but I was always trying to find a way to do more. Now, what do I do? Where do I go next? And I fell into sales about 8 years ago by ringing a friend who worked at CSC, so obviously prior to the DXC changeover. And I said, look, what can I do? I'm bored. I want to come and have a change. And he said, well, have you ever thought about sales? And I said, no. And he said, well, I think you've got a personality for sales and I need someone with the health industry knowledge. So why don't you come and give it a try? And that was sort of 8 years ago, and ended up, you know, pushing my way through different roles within the health organization and in the CSC business, and left for a short period of time, left for about a year. And that's when I fell into the Salesforce ecosystem. The year that I call it my gap year, if you can have that, given I've spent so long at DXC, I jumped out for a gap year and worked for a startup in the wellbeing tech space. And that didn't quite work out. And a friend of mine said, look, why don't you come and join the System Partners practice? Have you ever thought of jumping into the Salesforce ecosystem? And I thought, sure, that sounds like fun, up and coming, you know, a lot of great conversations. And yeah, just found myself stepping into Salesforce and definitely drank the Kool-Aid pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think everyone does. So at the point that you kind of were invited into the Salesforce world, did you know much about Salesforce at that point?
I had used it from a tool perspective, like most salespeople using CRM, but a lot of my broader exposure was understanding the health cloud space, given my background in health and the industry focus and where I'd come from. And the company I went to work with, being a wellbeing platform, the integration between that and a platform like Health Cloud, incredibly interesting, being able to help people right from the get-go before they're sick and then managing their complete pathway and out the other side was something that, you know, obviously I took a bit of an interest in. So a lot of my knowledge sort of sat around the health vertical. And then once I started to do my research, I was like, oh my God, this place is huge. We can go in so many different directions and help so many different customers. And I think that's what's exciting about it.
Sure. So you were comfortable with like selling services though from your time with CSC. So moving into system partners at that point, you were familiar and comfortable with services as a business?
Yeah, absolutely. So the role that I sort of had historically in my background was software selling and services.
Okay.
So with the vertical that I worked in, we did a lot of in-house services as well as owning product. Mm-hmm. So I've had a blend of a bit of both. So switching to be able to sell services 100%, I felt was an easy switch for me because I've always been sort of outcome-based conversations with customers and going on that journey and helping them on that pathway.
Sure. Okay, cool. And then obviously you've been with the System Partners brand within DXC for the last few years and you've progressed in that time, right? So you came in as an AE within the business and yep. Now you're a partner managing multiple streams. So how yep. Did that progression come to be?
Opportunistic. I think when a small organization's getting bought by a larger one, it opens opportunity for people. And I think that opened for me a couple of different reasons. I had a history with the larger organization. That's always a great thing. But I think I feel like I've been fortunate along my journey because people have always seen more in me than perhaps I've seen in myself and come to me to discuss future opportunity. So I think always being sort of in a leadership role historically prior to coming to sales, being people focused has led me down the path that I'm in. And it's been a good path. I mean, it's challenging to now move from being an AE sort of last year and now running the practice, especially in COVID times. I think that's been a hell of a journey. But I think just, you know, standing up, I've always been a voice, always having a point of view, always challenging status quo has led me into the position that I am today.
Yeah, nice. And are you one of the people that will always take an opportunity or like even if it feels like a stretch, will you always kind of put your hand up and work your way through it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this sort of stems back. I was working with a coach the other week and we were actually talking about this. Why do I always push the boundaries? And I think it stems back to being, you know, a kid when I left high school, didn't know what to do. I actually grew up in Perth and at 19 just woke up one day and said I'm moving to Melbourne. So packed my suitcases, boarded a plane and sort of never looked back. And I've always looked at an opportunity to go, well, I don't know what's going to be on the other side, but put 2 feet in and just give it a go. I'm either going to sink or swim. And if I sink, I'll learn something and give it a go again.
Sure. Yeah. What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. So it has been an interesting time in that obviously you mentioned the acquisition and it creates opportunity and a whole load of change, right? So yeah. As a leader within the business going through that change, how have you approached that? And I guess tried to maintain the System Partners brand and the values and yeah. Everything that came with the business that was System Partners.
Yeah. I think the beauty of DXC is that it allows us to be our own practice. So although we've been acquired, we get the ability to run as our own entity. So we get to tap into the larger organization whilst leveraging what makes us special. So we've made sure to, you know, keep up what the founders did. You know, we were doing fly home Fridays. We were doing, you know, beers at the pub, lunches. We were doing all of our all hands, all of those things that made us special to bring everyone together and still keep a place where everyone can be themselves, be authentic, and feel like they can pick up the phone and ring one of the leaders if they want to. So I think making sure we've continued to keep that own branding of sort of the secret sauce of System Partners has been really important, and it's what's still attracted new people to us and what's kept a lot of the old timers as well.
Sure. Yeah, nice. So there's a big push from companies, obviously, to hire diversity, and a big part of that is gender diversity. And as someone that obviously has reached a leadership role, and I guess you would be classed as a dynamic leader, a female leader in the tech world, what do you think companies can do to attract more women into the workforce? And what are women looking for in businesses like DXC?
Really good question, Ben. Look, I think for me, you have to hire for the role. So do they have the right capability to get the job done? Do they have the right experience? Do they have the right attitude, cultural fit, all of those different things, so that you can then help that person become even stronger and even more successful? So I think when we're looking for the right candidates, it's making sure they actually strip back whether or not they're male or female or where they come from or whatever it may be. And we're actually hiring for the talent that is for that role. For me, when you say what should companies do different to attract women, you've got to allow a safe space for them to have a voice and be heard in an equal way. And for me, you'll never find me sort of, I guess, you know, marching on the street, so to speak, around equality. For me, I feel like I've always sort of demanded it, but not in an aggressive way, but in a way where people hear my voice, they know I've got something valuable to say, that you just then slip into becoming one of the team, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think giving people the foundation to be themselves and giving them the support to grow and nurture and be successful at the next level is what's really important.
Sure, absolutely. And it can be really hard to get that message across or to really show the true inner workings of a business just through a recruitment process. And so obviously system partners and DXC, as most companies are trying to do and do their best to do now, is to appeal to lots of different demographics. And when you are hiring, how are you trying to get the message across about the values and the brand and how the role and business should appeal to everyone in the ecosystem?
I think we do that through a few different lenses. So by making sure that, to my point before, hiring the right skills and the right candidate for the role, regardless of their background, is really important. But from a values point of view, we make sure that we're taking candidates through and they're actually getting a full view of the organisation. So, for example, when I hire a new salesperson, I might interview them, but then I'll be having someone from the practice side of the business interviewing them as well. So we can actually get a good feel as to whether or not they thoroughly understand us as an organisation, not just me as a sales organisation. They're understanding the culture of the practice, the types of opportunities we're working on, so on and so forth. And I think from a DXC core values point of view, like, we're always customer centric, right? The customer is at the centre of the conversation. So having our candidates thoroughly understand how they communicate with our customers, how they communicate with each other, how we work in a transparent way is really important, and having people understand that as they're coming on board.
Sure.
But, you know, DXC does a lot in this space as well. Like, we've got our Dandelion program. I'm not sure if you're aware of the great work we've done with the Dandelion program, which promotes people with autism in IT. That's been growing for quite some time now. We've got the work with the Indigenous program, which is launching in November this year, which is exciting. So as an organization, globally and locally, it's always been about an inclusive, transparent environment so that everyone feels at home when they're coming to work.
Yeah, nice. And I think you touched on a good point there in that you give potential employees, as they're going through the process, a view of different areas of the business, because I find that that's not always something that people realize is so important.
Yeah.
We see some companies and they'll interview, do one round of interviews, and they'll make a decision, right? And then when the candidate's a little bit shocked about that, because they're like, well, I've only met one person, and the company sometimes don't realize, they think everyone wants a quick process. And, you know, I don't want to delay recruitment processes, but I do want them to be thorough. And I do want people to be able to see, you know, the people they'll be working with day to day and the people that they might work with once every month through collaboration with other areas of the business. I think that's really important to give a real detailed view of what the business is like.
Absolutely. And for us, it's also giving them exposure to the structure. And what I mean by structure is, yes, we've got our practice with system partners, but obviously as a part of DXC, there's all the other capabilities as well. And for a candidate, they have the opportunity, should they want to start to learn another skill whilst being in the organization, which can complement, you know, what they're doing with Salesforce.
Sure.
And a great example of that's the Amazon work So we have had a few of our people go through the OneCloud program because it's complementary to a lot of the stuff they're doing with their customers in the Salesforce space, which is exciting for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So this is a big meaty topic now, and it's leadership, right? But leadership through COVID, and especially in Melbourne. I know you're leading more than just the Melbourne team, but how have you approached leadership through COVID, and how have you ensured that everything that you've tried to build and you've been building has stayed intact through this really difficult period?
Yeah, we have had to change constantly. So I think the biggest thing I have to say is get comfortable with constant change. You know, when I think back to March, we all thought we were doing this for what, 4 weeks? And then we moved to 8 and then 12, and it's constantly got longer and longer, especially for the Victorian crew. But one of our, and I'm going to give one of my employees a plug here, Key Lee, one of our key consultants in our marketing cloud space, he's always been the person at the center of our culture, bringing everyone together. And he came to us early on in the game to say, guys, can we still do our Friday fun? How about we do this remotely? He put effort into doing quizzes. We do online Pictionary. We might just get online and have a beer or a coffee or whatever it might be on a Friday night. But it's brought the organization together in a remote way. And we've also extended that outside of the SP family as well to the broader DXC. So we've made sure that we still had a place people could come together and feel like they were connected, even though it was through technology. And we also put in place pretty quickly coffee catch-ups. So, and we tried to cascade that through the organization. So I must say I've never felt closer to my team. I couldn't say that, you know, a sales team who spread, you know, nationally got together and had some raw conversations like we have done throughout COVID time. So our coffee cadence is just like, turn up if you want to. There's no rules. People are sharing what they did with their family on the weekend. There's really bad dad jokes that go down. So it's been a constant sort of, you know, jump about and making sure that we're responding. But from a well-being point of view, the company has really made sure that everyone understands we've got the EAP available to everyone. We've done like different well-being seminars and all of that sort of stuff. So if people were suffering with mental health and stress whilst going through all of this as well, they had access to it, and we made it okay to not be okay throughout this period of time.
How aware have you had to be of that? And like, is it, have you felt it's easy to kind of pick up when someone needs support if they're not putting their hand up themselves?
I have, because I think you can hear it through their voice. And I think I've gone through my own troubles during this time. I lost a family member to cancer. She got diagnosed at the start of COVID and unfortunately passed away in August. And I think because I let my guard down and I let my team know that I was going through a really tough time at home whilst dealing with, you know, running a business through COVID, it allowed people to come to me, and it completely broke down those barriers and created a really good, transparent conversation.
Yeah.
So I think people have been more aware of each other than ever before to check in and make sure people are okay. And I really hope we continue that, not just our organization, but I think organizations across Australia and probably the globe have really let down those barriers. And I really hope it's something that we take away from this time as being important.
Yeah, absolutely. And sorry to hear about the challenges you've been through recently as well. But I completely agree with being authentic and letting your own guard down. It kind of invites others in to do the same. And any leadership book you read will tell you the same, especially right now. But it's actually sometimes quite hard to do, right? Because you don't want to always be seen as vulnerable.
Yeah.
But it's actually really important to do that. So how do you feel about remote working now? Like, is it here to stay? Has it been as effective as you would have liked, or comparable to being in the office?
I'm 50-50. Is it here to stay? I think it is in so many different ways, especially in our IT. I think they've worked out it can be done remotely and we can be just as efficient. But I miss the human contact, and I hope other people do too. I want to get back to seeing my customers face to face. I think as a salesperson, you know, go and grab a coffee, have a meeting in a boardroom, whatever it may be, there's a different connection, and I miss that. So I think you know, getting back to some of those basics. I'm cool. I don't have to shake hands anymore.
Yeah.
I was always a bit funny shaking hands. So I feel like I'm cool if that one stays out the window. But I definitely want to sit down and have a cup of coffee or a beer with someone.
Not too long ago, before COVID, but I got feedback from someone that I was a rubbish hugger. and not my wife, but like, you know, when you greet someone and you're semi-familiar with them, but you're not like super familiar and you hug. Yeah. And I got described as having like a wet hug where you don't, like, I didn't really go in. So I'm really glad now that you can't hug people, because I'm never going to get described as a weak hugger again.
Yeah. I'm sure there'll be people out there around the weak handshake.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, I've got that one down. But what I find as well, which is funny, because I'm not as super sociable perhaps. Like I've really enjoyed I enjoy people's company but I'm very much like, when I'm working and stuff, I just like to work I'm kind of maybe different from a lot of salespeople that really enjoy the buzz off of people around them. But what I've found through video and doing videos with clients, like I push back on clients so much more through video than I do on phone, because I think they can see my emotions and see why I'm doing it perhaps, rather than just like pushing back and it being quite a blunt phone conversation. It's so much easier to like really guide someone on video. And I guess it's the same as being face to face, but it's enabled me to have better discussions with my clients than if it was just a phone call.
Yeah, absolutely. And have you guys tried to, the other thing that we've tried to do, and maybe this resonates with you, is a camera on policy, camera on, so that you're not, when you are on a video conference, so many people are keeping their camera off because, you know, they've got a dog in the background, like what I do or whatever. We've made it like, just turn up to work, put the camera on, and that still allows that sort of dynamic to come through the screen.
Yeah, I totally agree. The one thing I'm not too sure about, though, is working with your camera on and everyone working with the camera on and everyone being able to see each other. Like we're not together, right? We're in different like suburbs and I'm not sure about that one.
No, I agree. Definitely not that one. But yeah, in meetings, like let's put the camera on so we can see the face and the body language.
Sure. So you are in a sales role still, like you lead a sales team. So you're privy to a lot of information, a lot of conversations with Salesforce customers and Salesforce themselves around the changes that they've been making since COVID. And how have you seen customers adapting, but also still getting maximum value from Salesforce by using it in, I guess, creative ways?
Yeah, I think it has changed a few times over in the last few months as different companies in different industries have responded themselves as an organization and regrouped. So in the early days, we were seeing customers kind of go, hang on a moment, I need to get, you know, my house in order and respond to what was happening. And we were sort of seeing a lot of people go, okay, how do I maximize what I've got today? What have I spent? How do I do some incremental value things on the platform? Whereas now, coming out the other side, we're seeing conversations really start to open up around, well, how do I now think about transforming my organization, start to plan for next year, start to be able to, you know, lower my costs, utilize Salesforce in a way that really helps with that return of investment. And that particularly is shining through in sort of the Service Cloud, and especially Service Cloud Voice space. So Service Cloud Voice is something that we're definitely looking at. We completely see the value in it. I mean, that speaks to the working from home aspect, right? Like really, if call centers want to, they can now start to be a remote call center with the right applications to support their organization. And, you know, if we flip back to the diversity element, think about what that does for the workforce. You know, that opens up opportunity for, I don't know, stay at home mums, people returning to work, people who can't travel, all of those sorts of things. So I think I'm clearly a little bit excited about that space and what that will do for the ecosystem and our customers. But I do feel, depending on the industry you're talking to, our customers have gone on a different journey themselves over the last sort of 9 months and constantly needing to adapt conversations to support them.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it, because that when it all kicked off, it was hard to know how to deal with different customers, because you didn't really know under the bonnet of each business and how they were being impacted. So, you know, you'd call certain clients and they were going, and on the face you'd think they were fine, but actually their business is in a difficult place. And then others are, you know, are scaling and growing aggressively. Yes. So it was really hard to pick. And I think you just had to give people a little bit of space to kind of work things out for themselves.
You did. And you're spot on. Like we, I know some of my team have had some hard conversations. Like you're at the cold front and you've got great relationships with your customers. You know, some of them have gone through redundancies. And that's been hard. And so I think sales and even in any ecosystem has been a role where you've had to constantly pivot because you need to be compassionate about what's going on out there and dependent on what's happening with your customer within whatever industry at the time. That conversation is changing from one day to the next.
Just touching on your team a little as well, do you see like within the Salesforce ecosystem, a certain sales style work better than others? Like are there typically in the AE role or the people that you'll lead, like is it a hardcore sales person? Is it like the consultative style that really works well? Is it the people that know more about the Salesforce product than others that you find get the best results?
I think the people who get the best results are the ones who understand the industry that they're focused in, so the trends and the patterns that are going on, but also the ones who can resonate with their customers and drive an outcome. So I don't, you know, I always say we've got all the solution architects, you've got your consultants, you know, I've got my solution engineering team who fundamentally know the ins and outs of the platform. We need people to be able to have a business-led conversation driving the right outcome for a customer that gets them the right result for what's going on in their organization. And we can underpin that by the value of our Salesforce people.
Sure, yeah, nice. And we have seen system partners, DXC, growing in terms of different regions as well, right? So yeah. Canberra, Adelaide, to name a couple. What opportunity do you see? Because when people think of Australia, right, there's a lot of opportunity in Sydney, there's Melbourne, a little bit of work in Brisbane, Canberra's now growing. But are they two hubs that you see growth in? Like where do you see the market expanding?
Yeah, I see Canberra continue to expand and I'd say almost explode. And that's probably because there's not a lot of consultants on the ground there and there's a hell of a lot of value that can be achieved out of the platform for the customers. I also see Adelaide following a trend. And if we think about it, you know, and if you look at the states and the way Salesforce is growing, we've sort of gone New South Wales, Vic, and now the other states are starting to catch on to the value of what Salesforce can do for their organizations. So we set up in Adelaide back in January. We're absolutely investing down there. That's a really exciting space for us. And obviously the broader organization's got a big investment down there. Keen to see if WA goes the same way. I think there's a lot of value that can be driven from WA as well. So I think, those three spaces will continue to be growth areas for Salesforce in the future.
It's really, from my side, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Canberra because if Canberra explodes, like you said, like what does that mean for the broader market? Because in my experience, Canberra has been a heavy contractor market. Lots of people that work there are contractors. People are flying in, flying out. Whether or not that will even be a thing these days, I don't know. But yeah. Remote workers on higher daily rates, potentially leaving permanent roles to do that. Obviously, yes, there are consulting projects that will definitely be driven by big companies like yourselves, but there just isn't the volume of candidates across Australia to service a market like Canberra if it really kicks off and leave enough people for other people to hire. It's going to be really fascinating to see how it works out.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I guess something, you know, we're doing, and I know there's other larger organizations doing the same thing, it's investing in graduates, right? Like how do we actually bring people into the ecosystem that want to start a Salesforce journey and provide them a platform to grow? So as the ecosystem of Salesforce continues to grow, we're bringing through more people on that journey. And that's something that's exciting about our grad program. Yeah.
Yeah, I have seen that as well. I've seen the new people popping up on LinkedIn and they look keen as you can be. And actually I've seen people progressing as well, right? So they've come in at a relatively junior level, but have been able to progress and I guess take advantage of some of the opportunity that you mentioned earlier about a bigger company.
Yeah, our grads have been awesome. We have had an awesome group of grads this year. The exciting thing for us is grads that have gone to other business units have come knocking on our door going, can we get transferred into the Salesforce space? So that's super exciting. There's a lot of buzz surrounding what we're doing and the exposure we're giving them to the different customers as well.
Sure.
And they're adding value quickly. Right? These are smart individuals.
Well, and also that's the beauty of the Salesforce platform in that there is a platform of e-learning and there is real opportunity to get up to speed quickly.
Exactly. And with the, you know, the senior people we've got in our organization, we've done really great work to build them a learning pathway to understand, well, where do they want to head? And, you know, how do we make sure we give them the most success and exposure? And, you know, the likes of Chris and Mike and Marloes, they've built a proper training program for these guys so that they can be successful.
And that's key as well, because we do see people hiring rookies, especially some of the smaller partners, when they hire and they don't always give them that platform to excel and learn. Yeah. Like Trailhead is great, but it's so much easier and better to progress in your career if you've got mentors and people absolutely to shadow and like not just get put on a project on day one and off you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Otherwise you could get lost going through Trailhead. Yeah. There's so much to learn.
So what does the future of system partners within DXC look like system partners with the DXC brand behind them? What's the future? What's in store?
The future is what we want to make of it, right? I think we've got an incredible opportunity in front of us. It's exciting. The types of engagements we're getting involved in, I see us continuing to grow. We'll continue to align to an industry focus with what broader organization does, and obviously with the way Salesforce is heading as well. So for us, we're going to continue to get bigger and better and make sure our customers are always at the center of the conversation and deliver proudly for them.
Yeah, nice. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and giving us some insight into the world of DXC. And if anyone wants to reach out and ask any questions, where can they find you online?
They can find me on LinkedIn at Glenda Birch, or drop me an email.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much, Glenda. Really enjoyed the chat, and I'm sure our audience will enjoy it too. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Ben.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talent Hub Talk. If you're enjoying the podcast, we'd love it if you could subscribe and also leave a short review. We're keen for this podcast to reach as many people in the Salesforce ecosystem as possible, and your reviews will help us do that.